But right now, this week, some of Australia's most recognisable brands, from Banks to Brekkie Foods, relaunched campaigns with disability front of mind, in front of and behind the camera. Now, the campaign proves it isn't hard to put people with a disability in the frame. So I guess the question is, why is it still so rare to see it? And we're noticing that a lot now. Inclusion is starting to really build on our screens. But this is a real noticeable part of what they're doing that is a big gap at the moment. So we thought we'd get a good friend of ours. We haven't chatted to her for a little while, Lisa Cox, who's disability advocate. Lisa joins us on the show this morning. Lisa, how are you?
Hi, I'm great, thanks, Dad. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Lisa, it's been a long time. We were just talking off air. It's been a little while since we've spoken to you, so we have got a lot to catch up on.
That's right, we sure do. I must hear you guys have been busy, and I have too.
Yeah.
Doing disability things, we all have.
Yes, we certainly have been, that's for sure. Now, the last time we did chat was, I suppose that there has been changes made, and Daz did give a good introduction to that, but we're very interested to hear from your perspective. What is changing in your world as the advocate and the person that speaks out and is the voice? What are we really listening to?
Well, as a disability inclusion consultant, someone who goes into agencies and brands and really helps them to navigate the nuances of disability inclusion in advertising, I am seeing an increase in brands and businesses wanting to include people with disabilities in their advertising. So that is fantastic, but it needs to be done correctly, done authentically, and by listening to people in the community with lived experience. So I know a recent Forbes article was published that said, while we're seeing an increase, there's been a rise in representation in people with advertising, but there's still a lot of people without disabilities who are playing those parts. So, yeah, while we've come a long way, there's still a long way to go.
Lisa, do you find that it's interesting you say that there are businesses that want to include? Do you feel that it is a want to include, or more a need to include, or a feeling of responsibility that they should be or have to be including? What's your feel on that?
Bit of both.
Okay.
So, just to give your listeners a bit of context, I suppose. I worked for many years down in Melbourne as an advertiser, as a copywriter. So I created advertising, worked in the creative department, writing advertisements, writing scripts, helping produce them. And then I acquired multiple visible and invisible disabilities nearly two decades ago, and then returned to advertising. Still loved the process and the work, but decided that I didn't want to be in industries or in the creative department, but there's a real gap in the market for I suppose my sort of work. So I started my own business, went to business and said, hey, how about this revolutionary idea called inclusive advertising, because there's no representation of people with disabilities, and it was already being done over in the US and the UK especially, and got a lot of knockback. That was looked at like I had two heads. What are you talking about? Don't be stupid. People with disabilities don't spend money. They just either go to the Paralympics or sit around all day collecting government paychecks in hospital attire. So after many, many years, it's fantastic to see some really big brands taking leadership positions and stepping up and actually being leaders and showing other brands that it can be done, and including people with disabilities isn't rocket science.
It's really interesting, Lisa, that you said the words that people, I suppose there's a lot of people that are uneducated in the world of disability, but when you said that, the perception is that people just go to the Paralympics, that's what they do. Your perspective, that's just blown my mind, actually, because it's almost like a penny has just dropped with me, and working in this industry for the amount of years that I have, it's just I've never heard it put like that before. But from your perspective, how hard was it to change people's perceptions and, well, let's say normalise for them that this is just, it's a no-brainer?
I suppose it's still a challenge every single day. Mm. But with campaigns like the one from the Dylan Alcott Foundation, it certainly makes it a lot easier when there are business leaders and other big brands getting involved, and there are more and more people starting to speak up. But now those same businesses who went, "Go away, we don't want to hear from you," are now turning around and going, "Oh, that thing you talked about to us 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, can you come back now and speak to us about that?" I suppose what has also changed, 10 years ago, there wasn't so much data around what the disabled consumer looks like, how much they spend, et cetera, et cetera. But now I have a ton of data. I have, what the average disabled consumer looks like, and the fact that we are globally, our global spending power is roughly $1.9 US trillion. So you put that in front of someone who's making the decisions about where the advertising dollar is being spent, and you're like, "Oh, what do you know? We might find you a few extra dollars to make this app now." And so being able to present them with that sort of data makes a big difference in terms of where the dollars are going and who's making decisions around advertising. So it's a different game to how it happened years ago when it was just that charity model of help disabled people because it's a nice thing to do for society. We're able to present the economic and financial benefits of, I mean, you don't just do it for those reasons because it is fantastic for society as well, but there is really, really good evidence to show that it's also good for businesses because I've spent enough time in boardrooms to know that for some people, the only thing, they're there, they make decisions purely by the number at the bottom of a profit and loss statement, and that's okay, that's their job. And it's those people who we need to convince about getting people with disabilities on our screens. And if that's the conversation we need to have, then so be it, because let's face it, for decades we had the conversation about put disability on screens because it's a nice thing to do for the disabled people, and that clearly got us nowhere, so let's have another conversation.
It's interesting, Lisa, because I think of TV, free-to-air TV now, and you look at some of the main players in the advertising space that really are demonstrating a high level of inclusion, and a lot of it's around culture. And so you look at the grocery chains, Woolworths in particular, the telecommunications guys are pretty big on it as well, the insurance guys. And I swear the other night there was an Amy add-on, and I missed the tail end of it, the tag of it, but I'm sure there was an Amy there standing there with a guidance dog or a support dog. So really taking it to the next level. But that's only the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? That's inclusion. But you're saying it needs to be more than that, because there is still a huge opportunity for people living with a disability to be able to be seen. So they perhaps become the opening to this massive funnel through these big organisations that can open the door of opportunity.
Oh, there's so much more. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You're absolutely right, because there's so much more to this than just, whacking a wheelchair in front of the camera. There's inclusion behind the scenes, and the great thing about the Dylan Foundation ads, they had Bus Stop Films producing all of the advertising, which is a really great company. They employ people with disabilities to shoot the advertising, to put it all into production. And of course, the end game, we want to see a trickle down effect to influence big decisions, employment, healthcare, government policy, those sorts of things. So while advertising influences social attitudes and those sorts of things, we do want to see that in the longer term affect the bigger social policies, bigger social outcomes like healthcare and employment and those sorts of things as well. That's the end game.
Lisa, you mentioned Bus Stop, big fan, big fan. One of our participants is actually going to be an extra on Neighbours coming up in January as well, which is super, super cool. We cannot wait for that. But I tell you what, we commend you. We take our hat off to you. You've got a huge job. You've got such amazing, exciting times in front of you. Let's not leave it too long before we chat again, not as long as last time.
No, not as long.
If people would like to get in touch with you or know more information, where would they find you?
My website's one place to start, lisacox.co, LISACOX.co, and all my socials are on there. Instagram is probably the best place. Same link, lisacox.co.
Beautiful, Lisa. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. We look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Thanks to you both.